Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of August 8th. I'm John Gibson, and with me this morning on a beautiful Sunday morning again is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
Oh, it is a beautiful morning. I had a nice chance to go for a walk on the way back from work.
The Olympics, Rio, have changed our schedules. Yeah. We have a little bit of a schedule adjustment at work as well, so I know you're going to have a lot of late nights or long nights, I should say.
Kind of jet laggy.
Yeah, but thank you for staying up this morning, and hope you get some sleep in the afternoon. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Tom O'Malley of the Hanshin Tigers, and we're going to talk about Hanshin and a whole bunch more and answer some great listener questions. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so I went out on, I had a rare Thursday off this past week, and I went
out. How'd you manage that?
I don't know. It's just pre-Olympic time. They say, hey, get your rest while you can get it.
Wow.
So they gave me a day off.
They didn't say that to me. They said, can you get your butt in here?
Yeah, they said, work harder. So Tom has been a coach with the Tigers. I think this is his second stint as a coach with the Tigers. And this second stint started in 2014. And we've had him on the show every year since he has been a coach. And we love getting the insight that he brings to the show. He's a guy who played here and now he's part of the management team, and that's awesome to get that kind of coaching expertise instead of just from the player's point of view. So it's great to have him on the show. We talked in the tunnel just in front of the spot where a lot of guys do interviews post-game, and he gave us some insight about the Tigers, so let's take a listen. All right, joining us this week is Tom O'Malley, one of the hitting coaches with the Hanshin Tigers. Thank you very much for joining us, buddy.
Well, good to be here with you.
All right, now, before the season, rookie skipper, Tomoaki Kanemoto, was talking about trying to rebuild but also contend at the same time. How's that plan working out?
Yeah, I mean, he's tried to go with a mix of veterans and young players, and he's given a lot of young players a lot of chances, so nobody can say that they didn't get an opportunity because he's given everybody a good chance. So some of our veteran players haven't played up to expectations to this point, but hopefully they'll finish strong and, you know, where it'll be a successful season for them. But a lot of the young guys have improved and you know, have developed, so looks like a bright future for the Tigers.
Well, how do you see that transition, though? Is it success as you see it right now, or is it just a work in progress?
It's usually a process, yeah. I mean, you usually don't see, you know, maybe one guy that does well as a young hitter, but, you know, it takes some time. I mean, you know, you need the experience, you need the game at bats, you need to learn, and that's what they're going through right now. It's a growing, you know, some growing pains, and they're going to make mistakes because they're young, so. But in the, you know, in near time here, we should, you know, benefit from it.
Now, what about these guys who have emerged this year, Takayama, Haraguchi, Hojo? What do you see as their future?
I see bright futures, you know. Haraguchi's really been a big asset for us right in the middle of the lineup. And he's had a lot of key hits and Hojo and like you say, some other guys too. So, but those are the guys that are playing every day just about. So, you know, those guys that have been able to contribute, and hopefully they'll continue to get better.
How much is getting rest for those guys a part of the plan?
Well, I think for guys coming out of college, it's key because, you know, they don't play that many games. Mm. You know, when you're playing the kind of schedule we have day in and day out, it's a grind, and they do need days off, you know, and it shows, you know, they get a little tired. But, you know, they're young, and hopefully they can, you know, bounce back from it.
All right, now you touched on it a second ago, and I, you know, the Toritani situation, you said some of the veterans haven't performed up to what we expect. He's one of them. What's that situation developing into now?
Well, he had a good game yesterday, and even as of late, he's been coming off the bench, you know, it appears that he needed a little rest, and hopefully, like I say, for the rest of the year, he'll be his normal self and a major asset for us.
Now, how much are you guys trying to get him some time off then? Because I know he played 667 consecutive games with playing every inning. How much is rest going to be a part of the playing future?
It wasn't in his vocabulary until recently. So, Kanemoto is the only guy that could probably be the manager that could rest him because, you know, he had a long streak as it was too. So, but, you know, he's 34, 35 now, and, you know, it's not easy. So, but it looks like it's benefited him, and he's playing well now.
All right, we've got most of August, all of September, and part of the whatever the makeup games are left on the schedule, what does this team have to do or improve in what areas so that you guys can make a playoff push?
Yeah, I think, you know, we just got to be more consistent. You know, we've seen, like I said, a lot of mistakes by the young players. And, you know, I think if we can get in the playoffs, you know, you never know what can happen. You know, I mean, and that's our goal. You know, right now we're in fourth, so hopefully we can catch Yokohama here and get into the A class and see where that takes us.
All right, now there was some friction last year with Randy Messenger and the team. How did that situation play out within the team with you guys last year?
There was really no friction. I mean, he's just a competitor. He's a gamer, and he wants the ball. And, you know, I'd love to have him on my team anytime. You know, he gives you innings, and you know, he goes out there and gives you everything he's got.
All right, now this team, the ERA is probably right in the middle. I think it's third behind the Carp and the Giants in the Central League. Is this the kind of pitching that you guys expected to go with or have this year, or have there been any surprises?
Well, we can always get better, you know, and that's how you win, pitching and defense. So, you know, that's our goal, is to continue to get better in all facets, you know, hitting, pitching, and defense. That's usually, you know, you win a lot of games that way. Mm. So that's our goal.
One more. How do you compare the two leading hitters in the Central League, Setsugo and Yamada, Tetsuto Yamada?
I'd like to have them both on our team. You know, they're great hitters, good young hitters, you know, good compact swings, and they're tough outs, you know. So you got to make your pitches, but, you know, like I said, I'd love to have them on our team anytime.
All right, buddy. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thank you very much, Tommy O. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, so, yeah, when you hear the whole tenor regarding the team, what was the thing that stuck out for you?
Well, yeah, a couple of things. First of all, absolutely right. Of course, Tom and I talked about this subject about a month and a half ago, about all the young guys that Kanemoto was throwing out, and, you know, in the pipeline that they have going between the first team and the second team, which is really a new thing for Hanshin, and I've mentioned that before, so that's not new here. But I guess, you know, when he says nobody can say none of the young players on the Hanshin Tigers can say they're not going to get a chance.
Right. I knew you were going to go there.
Well, of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's where I'm always going. You know, I don't have to go there. I'm there.
Yeah, I know you're there.
and of course, you know, sometimes the chances, you know, for a young player is to throw a lot of pitches.
Right.
But no, I certainly, I think that's almost the defining, you know, we've had a lot of questions about what the Tigers were trying to do. It sounded like Kanemoto last autumn was talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to rebuild, but we're going to be a veteran team and we're going to compete. Like, huh? Okay, well, yeah. Right. I think the other bit was about Toritani. Of course, I think I said in our Central League preview that the Tigers cannot win if Toritani is their everyday short, you know, if he's, you know, plays the whole season at shortstop.
Right.
And Kanemoto essentially said, we can't win if he keeps playing the way he is.
Well, what did they think they were going to get? I mean, he's been on the downhill side for a while, so I don't know that we, and I'm not saying that it's been obvious,
mm-hmm.
just little things here and there, mm-hmm. but it's been slippage, it's been decline, and it doesn't get better.
Well, you know, I was curious, so I did, you know, dig up the numbers as I, you know, I have done on occasion.
Uh-huh.
And on the day they benched Toritani, he'd played 92 games.
Right.
He was batting .231.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, being Toritani, he had a .348 on base percentage because he drew 63 walks.
Right.
Okay. Now, you can call it a rest, or you can call it this, or you can call it a wake-up call. But through Friday's games, in 11 games since he was taken out of the starting lineup.
Right.
He was 10-for-21 with just two walks. So my guess is part of that was, you know, stop expecting to walk and, you know, do what you do, which is find good pitches to hit.
Yeah. And obviously we've seen the slippage too on the defensive side. I've seen him. I mean, there was talk earlier in the season where he dropped a couple of balls that probably should have been caught, and one of them just went off of his glove.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. I don't blame that on slippage or age or anything. That's more concentration kind of a thing. But that's just part of the thing. You lose concentration and focus because you're thinking about other things and you're trying to cheat, trying to figure out where to position yourself to get in better spot to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And it all just works together in terms of decline. You know, that's part of what it manifests itself as.
Well, you know, Kanemoto said it wasn't just about hitting. He says if you keep, you know, if you don't change your approach at the plate, you're not going to do any better. And if you don't change your approach in the field, we can't play with shortstop.
I agree. Yeah, you've got in this interview, we've got Tom O'Malley talking about giving all these young guys an opportunity. And at the beginning, I think I commented on the fact that Kanemoto was talking about the Yokawas and the Yokotas and the Egoshis and the other guys he was going to give an opportunity, or he's going to try to make into big hitters or try to be middle of the lineup guys. And then those guys are gone, and now they've been replaced by the Haraguchis and the Hojos. And it's just a whole different expectation. So I'm just wondering, and you know, I get the feeling that he really likes Haraguchi and what he's doing, but what did they expect? I'm not sure what Tigers fans expected. And through all this, and we talked about it, I think a couple, three shows back, that the Tigers are still doing a great job of competing and contending while they're playing all these guys without experience.
Right. Well, I think that's, I don't think it's necessarily bad. I don't think you can't compete, you know, with inexperienced guys. I think it's more of a challenge. Because, you know, as Tom said, young guys make mistakes, and sometimes, you know, I think young guys are more prone to make mountains out of molehills. You know, you get into a, you know, you go over four and it's a crisis. It means, you know, you're one step closer to being a minor leaguer again.
Right. But I also like what he said about the Toritani situation, just to go back to that for a second, because obviously Tomoaki Kanemoto, the first-year manager, is the ultimate Iron Man. He's the guy who played in 1,492 full games and 1,766 consecutive games, and he's about the only guy who can convince another guy with a streak to sit down. And I think that carries weight, and I don't think it should be, you know, taken lightly. I think it was a big deal.
Well, I was trying to take it lightly, but you wouldn't let me. No, I wasn't. I mean, I was thinking about that because, of course, if you probably remember how Kanemoto's streak ended.
Yeah, he took himself with
the manager unwilling to do it.
But he was hurt.
Right.
I remember he had a bad shoulder.
Said it didn't matter. The manager was going to keep him in there.
Yeah, because it's a team game, and we want to keep your streak alive as a team.
Well, yeah, actually, you know, we can laugh about that, but that is part of what it means to be part of a team in Japan, is doing things that sometimes, you know, the team wins in more than one way. You know, it wins on the field, but it also wins in achieving success for individuals. It's odd, you know, it sounds like a contradiction, but it is part of what it means to be part of a team in Japan.
Right.
And, you know, very often teams will sacrifice their best interests so that individual players can achieve specific goals that are completely unrelated to winning.
Yeah. And at this time, he had a bad shoulder. He couldn't throw the ball back to the infield from left field if he was in shallow left field.
Right.
And he couldn't swing the bat very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat him down, self down, and like you said, the manager was Akinobu Mayumi, I think it was. He's the one who just said, "Well, no, you know, you can keep your streak going. We want you to be in there." I don't even know what the reasoning would be.
Yeah, well, that's the Japanese thing, you know. It's for the glory of our team that you compiled this marvelous record. So there's a famous case, and I'm not going to pretend I remember what year it was. It was in the 1990s, and Shigeo Nagashima was manager of the Yomiuri Giants, and he was playing Hideki Matsui, who couldn't throw. He was using him as a defensive replacement in center field in order to keep Matsui's consecutive game streak going.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was in the middle of the season. You know, it wasn't in the pennant. I mean, we've talked about this issue at times, and we've seen it where players go nuts about individual awards. But it was in the middle of the season. It wasn't the end of the world. The Giants, you know, it wasn't do or die. But it was a case of sacrificing the team for an individual's goal that would ostensibly reflect well on the team. So, yeah, we've seen this, and I think it is interesting that you mentioned that, because I wasn't thinking too deeply on it, to be honest. But, that's the manager's job, is to, you know, take the guys out, but sometimes in Japan they can't do it.
Right. And so I think, you know, Tom's pointing at the fact that this whole thing is a process where you have to get these players without experience some experience while trying to limit the mistakes and play through the issues, and you know, you've got guys having poor at bats sometimes, and you know, it's a rebuild. I mean, it really is. But as I said a few minutes ago, they're doing a good job of contending. Maybe that's just because the Central League is just so hard. It's just so hard to get a win in it every night that they're doing a good job of contending, even though they're under 500 and other teams have looked better at times. They seem to be getting better or playing better more consistently these days, and they're in fourth place, and they're in position. If they go on a run, you know, they might be able to get up to third place. I threw a question out on the homepage. I said, mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to be the Carp hanging on, or the Giants finishing in second, or the Bay Stars in second? And somebody said, hey, the Tigers are coming hard.
Mm.
And, you know, they have been winning more than they have been losing recently, but I'm not sure that they've been playing the upper echelon of the Central League. So we've got to win those games against the tougher teams, and then we'll take a look at how they're doing.
Yeah, well, obviously, because that's the case. And also, August is they just started their tough August when they travel all the time.
Right.
And that's not easy, so we'll see how that one goes. But no, I mean, you know me, I like young kids who are basically given chances to make mistakes. Because that's huge. I mean, most teams don't give the kid, they give them chances to succeed, and if they fail, it's, you know, no thank you. So I think there is, they're giving them some chance to fail, which is, I think, positive. So I like that. You know, like you said, you mentioned Dakota and you mentioned Igoshi, who's been back, and Yokota really hasn't been back. I think he has to go back and make adjustments. But I don't think, you know, given what I've seen from Kanemoto this year, I don't think that he's been banished to the minor league team, which is what the Tigers would have done 7 or 8 years ago. If he turns it around and he comes back, you know, they'll be good. You know, we've been waiting for you.
All right, so let's talk about the Tigers for a little bit. Now, I went through the lineups because I have a friend. He lives in the Kansai area. He's a frustrated Tigers fan. And he said, man, I can't believe it. They've got, you know, the lineup is really inconsistent. The pitching is inconsistent. He hates Taiga Egoshi. And he couldn't believe that he was placed in the number three hole in a number of games. And I said, well, what did you expect? This is what a rebuild looks like. You've got guys coming in who don't have the experience. You know, I went through the lineups, and I stopped counting because there were just too many. I counted no fewer than 18 lineup configurations just in July. And I got tired, and I'm like, you know, and this is through 23 games, I think, and I just got tired. I'm like, well, that's, I can't count up all these things. It's too much mixing and matching.
It's too much. It's too much for you to count, you
it's
mean.
It's too much for me to count. That's okay. What it is. Because, I mean, obviously, having a steady lineup
is...
I know you're not
that judgmental, that's why.
Yeah, having a steady lineup is easy when you know who's going to be batting where, or at least in the heart of the lineup, and you make a few minor adjustments throughout the lineup depending on who's pitching, I understand. But, you know, Gomez had batted from, you know, he batted in the 3-hole, the 4-hole, the 5, and the 6-hole
in
July, and they had 13 guys who had taken swings or had been placed in that number 3-hole. And that's a lot.
Well, that's not a big surprise. I mean, the guys who had been batting there haven't done it. The guys who they wanted to do it kind of stopped hitting in the middle of the season. And I was speaking of Gomez largely.
Right. Yeah, and I'll talk about that later, but I talked to him for a little bit too. So, you know, they've had 27 starters. They're 20 and 25 at Koshien, and they've been outscored 150-92 there at home. When obviously you've got the Torii-Tani drop off and all these other things, but I just think this is what, when they talk about giving guys opportunities and stuff, this is what happens. You get lots of different lineups. You get inconsistent play. You get inconsistent hitting. And just like Tom said, some of our veteran guys, and obviously we have to put Gomez into that hole, but the expectations haven't been met. But exactly what are the expectations? Because there's so much change going on around them. How can you expect them to be steady? In my opinion, you've got...
Well, I think the change going on around them is a result of their not being steady. I think they would have been basically happy to keep the same guys. I think Kanemoto's plan would be that, you know, Takayama and Yokota would have just worked, you know, all season long in the top two spots in the order, and DeGomez would, you know, continue to get on base and hit for power.
Right.
But none of that happens. So I don't think it's a case of he just starts shuffling people around and that he's the cause of all this. I think, to some degree. I mean, obviously, it's just his expectations. I think he went with the best he had, and the best he had wasn't as good as he thought it should have been.
Right, and I really like Kosuke Fukudome. I like that swing. I've always liked this swing, but I'm not sure if he's the cleanup hitter. I mean, he's been hitting cleanup in 67 games. This is through Friday's games I had checked, and I'm just wondering if that's going to be the guy who's hitting in your cleanup spot. If that's the answer to your cleanup question, what is the question? Because it's just...
The question is, the answer is, it doesn't matter. Except to a few people.
Hashtag hi. Okay.
And I'm one of them, but at some point, you know, you've got to have a guy. I mean, I like him, but he's not, especially in that stadium. I don't think he's a cleanup hitter. I'd rather see him at number 3. I think he's a really good hitter who can get you what you need in certain spots. If you need a base hit, if you need an extra base hit, if you need somebody to try to get one over the fence, if you're facing a fastball pitcher, obviously I don't like him against off-speed pitches. But I'm just not sure that he's the number 4 guy. But you know, I can understand the argument. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying it almost doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you could. I'm not gonna go into that here. But I'm saying that, yeah, it pretty much almost doesn't matter. The difference is putting, you know, the difference is batting your best hitter 9th,
right?
You know, and your worst hitter 8th. You know, I guess the worst possible lineup you could have would be to, you know, alternate, you know, bad hitters with good hitters. It still doesn't make a whole lot of difference, except the difference it makes is that people, not that it's, you know, stupid, it is kind of dumb, not that it's stupid or it's going to cost you the pennant. What will cost you the pennant is everybody thinking it's stupid.
Huh.
You know, you hear what I'm saying? The players would lose confidence in a manager who did that because it's almost like he's not trying, as opposed to, like, you know, a guy who just bunts all the time because that's what managers are supposed to do, you know, because that is trying. You know, I'm helping. but the real cost is in belief, because, you know, belief is a huge part of that. You know, you have to go out there and be confident in yourself and be confident in your teammates. And I think in that respect, you know, if you go into the game thinking, well, how can we win if our number 4 here is la 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 la? You know,
right.
if that's what you got up your
Your bat.
Your
batting glove?
No, I was thinking of your brain stem or something. You know, if that's what your brain's stuffed with, well, you know, you probably need a smarter player in that position.
Yeah. So I talked to Mauro Gomez a little bit before the game, and I asked him how his season has been going. And he said, yeah, you know, I've been trying to make a lot of adjustments. In fact, he was saying that night after night when he was struggling at times, he was just changing his stance. Sometimes he'd be open, sometimes he'd be straight, sometimes he'd move his hands, he'd do other stuff in the batter's box. And then he just has recently decided to, you know, do what he does and try to make the adjustments with the pitchers, and he's been hitting a little bit better recently. And I asked him a similar question that I asked. I asked him about the good young players with the Tigers, and the first name that he gave was Shun Takayama, the rookie outfielder who had the fire-hot start. And obviously he has slowed down because, just like what Tom said, these guys come out of college and the number of games is so different, and it takes a good kind of physical toll on the body, so that we could see that coming. And then he... Mauro talked about Haraguchi and how he seems to be doing really well, and Hojo. And according to one of the Daily Sports reporters I spoke with, Hojo might be the future regular at shortstop one of these days. Yeah, so they see him as an option in the future. And,
well, yeah, I mean, if your other option is Torii Tani, I think future is something you need to have in your vocabulary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that this will be the last time we see Torii Tani at short, but this might be the last time we see him as the regular starting shortstop
for the whole year. I thought his defense actually looked quite good at the beginning of the year, but I think he's already. I can't say I've paid a lot of attention to it since. So, you know, last year he won a Golden Glove, which was just weird. But, you know, those things happen.
Well, I think it was great for the team to take him out and give him a break on two fronts. His bat was really tired, his legs were looking tired, and he just needed some time off. And he looks a lot better because of the time off. And then, B, it gave them a chance to put other players out there to get some exposure on the first team at that spot. And I think that's going to be important as they go forward, because they're going to have to give him regular time off. And like I'm saying, I think... his days as the everyday, you know, maybe playing five times a week, maybe getting a day off a week or something at short might be, you know, in the future, especially if he's going to be facing a tough left-hander, they just sit him down that game. And that's probably what we might see next year.
Interesting.
All right, so looking at the Central League a little bit, too, I think the Carp are starting to slow down a little bit, let's say. They're just not as sharp as they were. And I wanted to say, I think... up until 2 weeks ago, I think they were really sharp, and they had been that way the whole season, and they're just starting to get to the time where I think Tyrone Woods would say their booties are getting a little tight. And I think they're starting to play that way. I think all the innings are starting to stack up for those bullpen guys. Jay Jackson has been good, but we saw him give up a run the other night that cost him the game. And then Hagans, what's his name, Brandon?
Braden.
Braden Hagans has been a guy who has been really steady, and he gave up a run the other day. And then I think last night it was Shota Nakazaki, who just didn't look great, but this is on Saturday night. So they're just starting to slow down and show some slippage here. And, I mean, I'm amazed, but I'm not amazed just to see the Giants put themselves in position to be that team. If somebody slips, they're the ones to clean up the mess and move forward here.
Yeah, I mean, it's it is interesting because if you remember, how long was the Giants' losing streak at the beginning of the season? Was it 11 games, 10 games?
It was long.
It was long, and it's really weird to see a team play that badly and still come back, because usually teams that lose that many games don't have the ability to play well.
Right, and they had a middle of the season kind of a slide too, a little one around the All-Star break, but they've come back strong.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things going on there. I think, as you mentioned, or as we were talking before the show, the last 4 weeks the Giants have gone 15-4.
Right.
And they've actually they've scored 102 runs and allowed 51.
Wow.
And, you know, that's about right. You know, that it's all about right and all. So it's not smoke and mirrors. There was some lineup shuffling. You know, that was putting a Chono at the top of the lineup and a couple of other things moving around. And I know Abe's been batting cleanup. And, well, again, I don't hold to that too much. But, you know, sometimes things work. And, you know, you let them work. You let people think it's magic. And, you know, you move on from there.
Yeah, another thing was they got Miles Michaelis back. And he has been, you know, he slowly... I don't think he was really sharp his first time out, but since then he's slowly been looking like the guy who, you know, won a bunch of games for him last year.
Well, he still has this amazing win streak right now going, and well, of course, when he can, in terms of decisions, you know, he hasn't lost him for a long time in the regular season. And even when you said he came back and he wasn't as sharp as he was last year, yeah, but. He was less sharp but more gutsy, you know, as they say, you know.
Right.
He was able to execute when he was really, really, I will say this, I will put it be more precise. He was either able to execute or his opponents weren't able to execute.
Right.
When he was in trouble. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's the other. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of little things have gone right for them, and you know, it's like the little things that were going wrong for them are going right now. So they're moving ahead, and they've been very solid. They've been giving the Carp a lot of trouble, and you know, it just like as the Carp were giving everybody trouble, the Giants have been giving everybody trouble now. So
yep. All right, making a two-seam transition, we want to talk about the performers of the month or the top performers of the month, or I don't know, what are you going to call them?
Well, I generally call them the winning starting pitcher of the month and the average hitter of the month, because those are, you know, typically the guys who are selected. And, you know, the Central League was really interesting because...
Yeah. Well, the announcement came out, and let's do who they are first. The announcement came out this past week. So in the Central League, it was Yoshitomo Tsutsugo of the Bay Stars was the top hitter, and Kazuto Taguchi of the Giants was the top pitcher. And in the Pacific League, Kohei Arihara of the Fighters was the top pitcher, and Ryoichi Adachi of the Buffaloes. So how excited were you to see that?
Well, I was excited to see Tsutsugo win. Because he was also the Central League OPS leader.
Yeah, he was the NPB monster of the month.
He was pretty much, yeah. I mean, and interestingly enough, another guy who had a heck of a month in July was Takahiro Arai, the Carp.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about Tsutsugo is that he won despite the fact that normally if you hit 400... the highest 400 hitting batter in the league almost always wins the award. But they gave it to both Tsutsugo and Arai both hit over 400, and they gave it to the guy who finished second in average. Well, you know, he had all the home runs. He was he tied a franchise record for RBIs in a month.
Yeah.
He became the third Japanese player to hit 16 home runs in a month.
Right.
And
that was two off the record for a month, I think.
Okay. And he also became the first player that we spoke about a week ago. He's the first player in NPB history to hit multiple home runs in three consecutive games.
Right.
So yeah, really, really, really interesting there. And Kazuto Taguchi just had he was a really obvious decision here. He had a bunch of wins. He had a bunch of good results. He struck out a bunch of guys. He doesn't really throw hard, but he's got good command. He's got good location, and he seems to know what he's doing for a guy you know with a middle round draft choice and he's 20 years old.
And yeah, third-year guy, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a rookie, except I think he pitched 61 or 62 innings last year.
Right, when they needed pitching help, just like they did this year, and the reason that he was out there again.
Yeah, so anyway, that was pretty obvious. The Pacific League was interesting, and interesting in two cases.
When you say interesting, you know it piques my interest.
I don't know about peaks, but Kohei Arihara was actually a pretty good pick. Now, I mean, I was curious who was going to win, and normally they would give it to the guy who, let's put it this way. This month, the Pacific League, the people, whoever, you know, makes these selections, and nobody wants to take credit for it.
Or blame.
This month, we had basically two pitchers. We had Arihara, who went 3-1 with a good ERA, with a really good ERA, and we had his teammate, Luis Bulldoza Mendoza.
Uh-huh, Bulldoza Mendoza.
Okay. He had a little higher ERA, but he went 3-0 instead of 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer strikeouts, so they had a choice between the ERA strikeout guy or the winning percentage guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so then they went with the ERA strikeout guy, and what interested me about that is in June, and I'm assuming these are the same people who select them.
Maybe they change every month.
Maybe. In June...
Just to protect the guilty.
Could be. The Central League selectors had the same alternative. They had a winning percentage guy, Yusuke Nomura, and they had an ERA strikeout guy, Yudai Ohno.
Right.
Except in June, they gave it to the winning percentage guy. There's really no difference between them. So it's sort of like they flip a coin or he's Japanese, he's foreign. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I thought Chris Martin also would have been a good choice. He had 8 saves. He was just brilliant. So interesting.
Yeah, I don't think he even made the list. You know, NPB sends out that email with all the guys who are candidates, and Martin was not among them.
Well, oh, that's true. I should have known he wouldn't be on it because he wasn't a candidate in the middle of the month. So
it was July 20th that I got the email, but okay.
Exactly. Now that was interesting and interesting in a good way. You know, it had something to say for it. The next one, I think we're going to give Ryoichi Adachi the WTH Award of the Month.
What the heck?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And now I love that the monthly award went to a shortstop. If it meant that the people who were selecting it actually gave him credit for his defense, which we know they don't.
And which we know he is a really good defensive player.
He has the tools to be a good defensive player. His concentration level I have mixed reviews about his ability.
I don't give any Buffalo minus points for having lost concentration in a lost season.
Well, this year, last year, you name it, you know, he's got to do better to deserve the top rating. I think he has the tools. He's probably my favorite shortstop in Japan as far as physical tools, but as far as making, you know, doing a lot of the little things he needs to do, I don't see it. But anyway, he batted .380 and he had 2 extra base hits.
Yeah,
but his .380 was the tops in the Pacific League. So, what the heck? Give it to that guy.
What the heck?
Yeah,
he hit a soft .380 hitter.
soft. If it was any softer, they'd be begging him to get hits.
I'm so glad you went that way.
Well, yeah. But you know, just in contrast, now Shohei Ohtani, in contrast. He batted .400. Now, granted, he did not have enough plate appearances to qualify for the league lead in batting average.
Of course, yeah, he didn't pitch as much, so we can't even make the excuse that he was busy pitching so much.
Well, he was pitching in the first half of
the month.
Before the All-Star break.
But.
So he was 10 plate appearances shy of qualifying. Now, they have a rule, of course, that if you take the plate appearances you're missing and you make them all outs,
right,
and you recalculate, then he could still ostensibly qualify for the league lead in batting, but he doesn't. He does, however, lead the he still led the league in on base percentage. He was second in slugging percentage. He led the Pacific League in OPS. He scored more runs than Adachi. He drove in more runs than Adachi. Adachi, I believe, was 0-2 as a base stealer. I think Shohei Ohtani, I think he stole two bases in July, drew many more walks. He was a much more valuable hitter. Of course, you know, he also had the defensive value of being a pitcher, so maybe they're even. But anyway, okay, and what the heck, let's give it to Adachi.
All right. Making a two-seam transition, I want to talk about two guys, and we just weren't able to touch on it. We've been taping on Sundays, and a couple of these wins came on Sundays, so we weren't. They got lost in the shuffle a little bit, but I wanted to recognize a couple of Swallows pitchers. Yoshinori Sato, the right-hander who used to be a flamethrower and now is more of a slider, spot-the-ball kind of a pitcher, and he won his first game.
The guy who forgot what the strike zone is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big time. He's got, 17 hits, 13 walks.
Anyway, he won his first game in 5 years when he beat the Dragons on July 24th. Mm-hmm. And then he won his first game at home this past week.
Oh.
And, you know.
That's right. It was at home, okay?
Right. And that was also, obviously, in 5 years he hadn't won at home, so. Good on him for working his way back, and
yeah.
Obviously the Swallows need these guys to pitch. They've been struggling on the mound all season, and it didn't look like that they were ready, either one of them. Shohei Katayama is the other guy, and he, you know, he's the guy of the five Tommy John surgeries, and he came back and beat the Dragons in that same series that Yoshinori won his first game in 5 years. He won the opener 6-3, and you know, both these guys have just worked so hard to come back and get back on the mound. And I don't think Tateyama was throwing anything great. And he used to be really nasty and really spot the ball. And he's still doing okay with the spotting of the ball, but he's not throwing very hard. And it just seems like somebody's going to crack one of these pitches, and he works his way through somehow. So, congratulations to both those guys. It just, this perseverance, I just like the story. It's a great story.
Well, I think Tateyama has, you know, he's always been a pitcher who basically lived on his control, you know, being able to locate everything. Last year, he didn't have it. Okay, if they're going to hit it, they're going to hit it. But I ain't walking people. So, they're hitting him pretty well.
Yeah,
he's not walking nearly as many guys, but they're hitting him pretty well. So it's not. I think, you know, it's a work in progress, or it's a work at the end of the line, perhaps. But I'll, you know, yeah, I agree. I love to see him pitch. I hope they do well.
All right, and then I did ask Michael Westbay to look something up for me because I was sitting around thinking about baseball as I normally do. And I was wondering who has the best batting average in, I don't want to call it late game situations, but from the seventh inning on.
That sounds like a late game situation.
Well, it could be until you get to the 12th inning or the 11th inning and the 12th inning when it's really, really late. And you, and the pressure's on because you've got to get that run, or you're going to either end up with a tie, or if you're on the road, you could, the last at bat goes to the home team and you could lose the game. So he looked up the numbers, and who do you think, and this is all of NPB, not separated by leagues, but who do you think is the guy with the best batting average, seventh inning or later? Off the top of your head.
Off? Well, that's accurate. There's lots of things to be coming off the top of my head, and not one of them is anything anybody wants to see, I'm afraid.
We don't even want to hear about it.
No, we don't. No, we don't. I'm going to spare you all. So I'm going to say Yoshitomo Tsutsugo, because I have nothing else to say.
Tsutsugo is up there. He's hitting .307. He is up there. But the guy, just think batting champions right now, and you'll be close.
Like Hiromitsu Ochiai?
No. Batting leaders right now. The
right now?
Average leaders right
now.
Ochiai.
I'd have to go with Tetsuto Yamada.
And he is number two at .360. the guy who's leading the way is Hayato Sakamoto of the Giants, and he's hitting 400. And that figures since he's a guy who's headed toward his first career Central League batting title, so that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, okay.
And then next is, after Yamada, is Katsuya Kakunaka of the Marines, and he's the batting leader. It looks like he's going to be the PL champion, batting champion, so that makes sense. And right behind him is Takahiro Arai of the Carp at 347. Mm. So these guys that we're mentioning, all of them we have mentioned in the, except for Sakamoto, we've mentioned in the running for Central League, or I'm sorry, League MVPs. I did give a shout out to Kakunaka when we did talk about our Pacific League MVP. So others, of course, of note on the list, Seiya Suzuki at 327. He's of the Carp. Ryosuke Kikuchi at 324. Also
MVP, baby.
And then Tsutsugo at 307. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see those guys are doing really well. Another guy who deserves some mention is Alfredo Despaigne. He's doing okay. He's hit 7 home runs from the 7th inning on. But the guy who has the most home runs 7th inning or later, the guy you mentioned at the top, Tsutsugo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen a few of them this year, so no surprise.
And Tetsuto has 10, and so does Jose Lopez, if you can believe that. So, and now, we did talk about on last week's show a nickname for Yoshitomo Tsutsugo, and we didn't get people to come out and play for this recess either. We got one. Max in L.A. suggested Superman or Tsunami. Which I think Superman is cool. I just don't think that Americans use the TSU very well. So it wouldn't be Tsunami. It would be Tsunami. So or Superman. So, but I thought Superman was kind of cool. And Claudio Rodriguez, the occasional JBW contributor who lives in Toronto, he said he liked the Tsutsugon moniker, which I think I put up one time a long time ago. Tsutsugoing, going, gone. So that's where that came from. But we didn't get a lot of players on that one, so I think I'm going to go with Superman. I think I like that one. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, the first one is an MP3, and it comes from Max in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Hi, JBW Podcast. My question is about Kazuya Fukuda of the Chibolote Marines. I see he's hitting close to 400 in limited plate appearances. Will Chiba possibly give him the chance to get to the 2,000 hit plateau in the next year or two? He's 40 years old, but looks like he's still in great playing shape, and it still looks like he can handle the bat.
All right, so yeah, Fukuda, the babe, you call him. What do you think?
Is he going to get to 2,000? Sure. Sure, because... the Marines are going to let him play until he needs a walker.
Hashtag high heat.
I actually resigned myself to the notion that Fukuda would just not make it to 2,000 hits. Mm. At least not in NPB on the first team. Now, I don't know if they're going to count his second team hits or his farm hits, but I think Pete Rose would have something to say about that.
Well, no, because according to Pete Rose, minor league hits don't exist in Japan.
So I don't know. I just had resigned, like I said, myself to the notion that he's not a full-time player, so now he's just a pinch hitter, and he didn't have enough skills to be on the roster for much of this season in terms of he doesn't have the kind of glove or the kind of tools to get him out there, even in a pinch, that you would really want to play him. In a situation where you need somebody who can do the things on the defensive side. Despaigne and Tadahito Iguchi, I think they're also DHs, so it's hard for him to get DH time, although he'd be the left-handed guy you'd go to in that situation. But, in terms of pinch hitting options, I probably would put Iguchi up there before I put him up there. So I don't know. I didn't think I'd be seeing him hit 2,000 on this level. And what is 80 more hits about that he needs in his career?
Oh, well, 80, yeah, that's a tough one. But again, as long as he's willing to go for it, they'll probably let him keep trying.
He's a really good hitter, and maybe if you said, just like you said, if he can take a walker up there and they let him play till he's 50, like Ichiro's planning to do, he's getting 80 more hits. But other than that, I, to be honest, I didn't see it. I didn't think it was going to happen, and I would say no, unfortunately, even though I love the guy. The next question comes from Glenn in Tokyo, our buddy, and he says, hope all is well in the summer heat, and you know I love the heat, so I'm all well. I was reading a Japanese article, he says, about a 1996 Hiroshima Carp meltdown that saw them squander an 11.5-game lead over the last 2 months of the season and subsequently the CL pennant to the Giants. And the basic angle of the story was, could this happen again to the Carp, which had about a 7-game lead with a similar number of games to go. So his questions are, can you see anyone catching them or the Carp throwing this away? It's question one. And the other question, what is the worst choke job you have seen in an MPB league leading team in your years here? So to answer question number one, can anyone catch them? Yeah, sure. Especially now that they're 4.5 games up as we go in to play on Sunday and they're looking bad. Yeah, sure, and
much as looking vulnerable,
looking bad. The game last night and this was Saturday night and Friday. They were swinging at pitches they couldn't do anything with. They loaded the bases a couple times and then just had some really poor at bats, trying to do too much or trying to get stuff, trying to win the game in one at bat.
Oh,
and defensive mistakes and all those things, those happen. I mean. That's just part of the game. They happen when you're relaxed or when you're uptight. So, they've just had some problems. But my philosophy is one man's choke job is another man's clutch. You can lose games and you can be in a vulnerable position to lose a league title. But the other team has to win in order to reach that or to get there. And I think the Giants are just clutch. How much
of that? I don't see why they're not clutch. I don't see why they are either, for that matter. But I think the Carp are sort of, the issue, one of the issues last year was expectations, maybe a small issue. But I think right now the expectations are very high again. And let's see. Yeah, in 1996, they did blow a lead. I don't have access to the season standings the whole year at this instant. Give me a week. I don't know if it was an 11.5 game lead. I know I saw that they were in the lead most of the season. They led the Chunichi Dragons for most of the season, and the Giants passed the Dragons, and the Giants passed the Carp. I think it was interesting that it wasn't only the Carp that year. It was also the Nippon Ham Fighters led the Oryx Blue Wave for most of the season before blowing that lead. So it was kind of a year for it.
Yeah, I've seen a few. I've seen, the Dragons, I think it was 1991, they had a lead, and the Carp came into Nagoya Stadium and beat them up in a series and went on to win. And that was the last time the Carp won a league title. So, and I've seen the Dragons lose another, the Make Miracle season was the 1996 season that you're talking about. Make Drama, Make Miracle, and we had Make Legend. There was a bunch of stuff, but all these teams losing or melting down or whatever you want to call it, choking, the common denominator is the Giants are the team, are the guys who have come back to win it. So, and I don't
well, think not 1991 right. now.
Not 1991, but in recent, all the make stories, the drama. And
oh, well, of course they were the Giants because that was Shigeo Nagashima's choice of vocabulary.
Yeah, making the make series.
Indeed. Make one, make two, make three. I mean, I guess the irony there was in 1991 when the Carp won the, that was the year when Senichi Hoshino said, if I don't win the pennant, I'll quit. And they finished well, but he quit.
Yeah.
They didn't win. Right. And then there was another year when Morimichi Takagi, basically at the All-Star game, the Chunichi Dragons owner came out and said, if you lose this pennant race, you're fired. And then the Dragons just turned on the Jets in the second half of the season, and they fell short. But he went like, oh, no, you're good enough. I mean, he had his chance to fire him. He should have taken it.
All right. On that note, we will take this opportunity to end the show. Thank you. thank you very much for the questions, Max, especially the MP3. That sounded good. And thank you very much, Glenn. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Mm-hmm. He always brings good topics to the show. Yep. Anyone else who has a question or comment, please send it by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat @JBWPodcast. Or you can leave us a note on the Facebook page. Look for us on iTunes. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.